We started a three-part sermon series last Sunday. We began it last week on the subject of digital Christianity. And the idea is being Jesus followers in social media. And we talked a little bit about that last week, and really important, I'll say this probably a couple times this hour, really important for the sake of this three-part series, that if you missed that one, you get it online at our Facebook Live link from last week or our webpage for the audio. But anyhow, we're speaking about digital Christianity, and this week we're going to be discussing the problem. This will make some of you groan when I say it here, but here goes. Today we're going to discuss the problem of fake news. And when I point that out, I'm not pointing out the problem of the fake news on the other people against you and your issues. I'm talking about our fake news, whoever we are, because I know in this room we have different, you know, viewpoints about sports and politicians and parties and platforms and, you know, church culture and who's good and all that. So we're in a variety of places in this room, no doubt. So I'm talking to you. I want you to draw a circle around yourself today. We're talking about our fake news, right? Like, everyone in your circle, that's the one that, you know, God's speaking to today about that. Before I get started, I need to tell you a story. Before social media, I'm going to be telling on myself just for a moment here. So if you guys want to, like, turn your collars around backwards, you can do that for a minute here. Basically, before there was social media, before Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these things were big deals, not that long ago, by the way, okay, for you kids, that wasn't that long ago. I know that's been some of your people's entire life. But for some of us, not very long ago, I've been pastoring for 22 years, and back in the day, there was not social media. Back in our fundamental Baptist days, when we were all hardcore about all certain particular things for whatever reason, we were also known to be good political people as well, I guess. And email was the modem of information back then. There was a time when email first came out, and not everyone, you know, had email. Businesses had emails, but eventually everyone got their own email. And all of a sudden, it was fashionable to share emails with other people. So people would, like, it became a thing where you try to go viral through email. In fact, some people's whole goal was to have their email go viral. So they would write emails, they would share things like, oh, here's my thing. Here's a picture of something cute, or here's a funny story, here's a joke, page full of jokes. Share this with all your friends. And we shared God's stuff. In fact, email was before social media, the first place where people would try to shame you into forwarding their stuff. They'd be like, this is about God, and if you really loved God, you would forward this email. And if you don't, then you know, whatever. Or if you share this email, forward this email in the next 7 days, or within the next 24 hours, these blessings will come upon your house. And if you don't, the curses of hell will descend upon you, or ascend upon you, or whatever they are. So you got to share this email. And then, of course, it was, you know, trying to get the word out there through sensational information. And boy, some crazy stuff. And people would start making stuff up just to try to go viral to see what they could get out. I'll never forget the story circulating all the emails about the kid that was playing in the McDonald's ball pit and apparently got poked by something and they got sick and then they died, and everyone's passing on this information that they went into the ball pit and found a hypodermic needle full of drugs and the kid poked themselves and they went into the ball pit. There was just all these needles and all these drugs at the bottom of the McDonald's ball pit and people were dying, and it was just, what? Don't play in the McDonald's ball pits anymore. People are forwarding that email to everybody, you know, because why not? As you know, McDonald's ball pits are most playful. People get into the ball pit, you know. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just weird. Also, it was the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing. Remember this when I was, this is like 20 years ago. The emails were everywhere that Kentucky Fried Chicken was not real chicken. It was genetically modified meat, mystery meat of some sort that was passing on and pretending to be chicken. Which is probably true about McDonald's chicken McNuggets, I'm not sure. But I guess they're a little chewier, I'm not sure. But no, all this is not even real, you know, chicken. And what? And forward this information on. And that kind of stuff was going around and passed this on within 7 days. Well, about that time, we were, you know, Twin Towers had fallen on 9/11. America was angry and a lot of people were feeling patriotic. And, of course, we were at war in the Middle East in the next couple of years. And sometime during that era, email reached me from somebody that apparently was an official person locally in a position of some level of authority from the email address that it was sent to us with. And they were warning us, letting us know to spread the word that a local Dunkin' Donuts in our area, I won't say which one at the time, for you'll see why, but they said the local Dunkin' Donuts in that area had turned away our servicemen, that they were Middle Eastern owners. The implication was that they were against, you know, America, but coming here, making money, tax-free, no doubt, off of Americans, you know, and they turned away our veterans. It's actually soldiers who came in military garb to buy donuts and coffee, and they turned them away and refused to serve them. And the word was spread that they refused to serve these servicemen these donuts and coffee, and they treated them bad and kicked them out. And the men quietly left, like good American soldiers would do, and caused no trouble, but these people threw them out. And everyone said, boycott this place and don't go there, and everyone was angry and forwarded this email to everybody. And I didn't forward the email, but I was upset when I read it too, because, you know, It just sounded right, you know. But someone doesn't like the war we're in, and this and that, and, you know, I mean, people came over to our country and infiltrated our country and blew up our twin towers, you know, and we don't know, and people over here and don't even like us, but they're making money, and, you know, all these, everything you ever think about that runs through people's heads, including Christian people's heads, unfortunately. I was so angry when the email, I didn't forward the email, but I came to church. We used to do Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Collapse from exhaustion. And somewhere, when you have that many services, what you tend to do is at some point the quality of content drops way down. So it's like Sunday night church, and I'm just like, you know, talking to the home the home faithful, and I'm sharing this email, I'm telling the story about this place that kicked out our servicemen, how they refused to serve them coffee and donuts. And I'm angry. And I'm just saying, this is wrong, and you should know that, and we shouldn't give them. I'm just upset. I pass on the information to the church. And that following week, within the next couple days or so, come to find out, it wasn't true. Now, a lot of folks still believe it was true, because once they believe it's true, well, I believe that they would do something like that, but it was proven to be true. It was from a false person using an email that looked official. Everyone wanted to believe it. They passed it on. I heard it. I wanted to believe it, apparently, whether I did or not. I shared it from my stage, and it wasn't true. Didn't happen. Never happened. And the business was suffering. People were boycotting. People were sending me. So here's what I did. I was ashamed. I was smitten at my heart because I had sinned. I did wrong. That weekend, I went to that store. I walked inside. The owner was working there. And, you know, I could tell just the uncomfort there. Who knows who's going to walk into the store. I walked up to the owner, and I said to him, my name is Arlen Walters. I pastor such and such a church in Cedar Lake. And some things came out about your establishment recently that were untrue, but they were spread everywhere, and I got a hold of it, and I not only chose to believe it, but I stood in front of my church, and I told them the story as well. I passed out false information about you. And it was wrong, and I'm sorry. It was a sin. I said, we're Christians, and we believe that's a sin. And I'm sorry to you. And I said, will you please forgive me? And then I went and I bought many dozens of donuts out of my own pocket, took them to church that Sunday night, and I told the whole church the whole story, how it proved to be fake, how I went to the man, I apologized for believing the worst about somebody in a politically charged time, how I passed it on, I apologized, confessed my sin, asked for forgiveness, I passed out donuts to the entire church. Everyone in the church that night got a donut in their pew, and I said, look, I owe more than that, and we made things right. That was my first crash course, shameful introduction into how easy it is to get caught up in hysteria and fake news. Now, I wanted to bring that up to help me tell the story today and to help me, hopefully help you remember it. I have donuts for everyone here right now. I'm asking my team to pass out donuts to you right now in church. And if you need water, they've sanitized, they have their gloves on, they've all been carefully handled. If you don't want one, don't take one. But they're going to pass them out to you right now. And we have bottles of water if you need one desperately in the back here. Everyone gets a donut if you want one right now. We bought for you to help us make this point. Now, if you are online, Ben, can you do me a favor and hand me that phone right there in the second row real quick? If you're online, I can't give you a donut because you're not here. So I'm sorry, but I can't even give you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do for one of you what I wish I could do for every one of you. I'm going to give one of you watching online a something. Thank you, Sherry. The donuts were delicious, right? So here's what I want to do. If someone online will do this while we're passing out these donuts, if you're watching online, I want you to answer a question for me. The first person that answers the question right that I see. This is the caveat that I might not see your answer first because my phone might get them out of order. I promise you, I will not skip anyone on purpose. First one, I see the answer to the question on my phone, I'll send you a Dunkin' Donuts gift card. The question is this. Last week, Jesus said, in last week's sermon, Jesus said that something about us Something about us determines what we say. What about us determines what we say? First person to answer that will probably, Sherry, you might know that I'd missed the donuts. Yes, but at least you're watching from home. That's funny. Yes. And Tom Sargent, I see your comment that 99% of people treat military people very well as a retired military guy, and you're right. But we believed hysterical bad news, and that's our fault. Anyhow, first person to answer that question online for me. Did y'all get your donuts? Need water? It's back there. We can give you a water to you. If you raise your hand, we'll pass one to you right now. Let the workers know. Okay. Oh, Sharon, I saw you first. Sharon neither says our heart determines what we say. Sharon, Dunkin' Donuts card coming your way. We'll get that to you this week. Congratulations to you. Now, I'm going to put this back in my front seat. I'm going to toss it to you. It's only an iPhone. It's durable. Fake news. Okay. Anyhow, so as we've said, digital Christianity is an increasingly important topic. As technology increases, and especially in an election year when things are politically charged. Now, how we behave on social media, bad or good, isn't just about politics. I've seen people, we get upset on social media about other sports teams. We demean the character of people that are on the other team. We do this when it comes to, you know, other churches. If, you know, like a church or a certain religious movement. We're good at being ugly on social media for a lot of different topics, not just politics. But one of the big ways that we misbehave on social media is our political views about things going on in America. And as we misbehave on social media, and it's become a beast. It's way worse than it was in my email days I told you about earlier. It's become a whole thing. And as we do this, it's especially easy to get caught up in misbehaving as Christians on social media during an election year. Because everyone's charged up. We discussed that last week. But we cannot separate our Christian behavior and our online behaviors. We just can't. And I said this last week, but if you're not on social media and you're here, you're going to sit back these weeks and cross your arms and nod and say, see, that's why I don't get on social media, because of what the preacher's saying today. I understand that. But if we are, and if you ever will be, we need to understand that we cannot separate our online behavior from our Christian behavior. The two go together. In other words, in the old days, online behavior felt like a hobby that you might have if you were one of those people. But anymore, so many of the ways we communicate with other people, most of what other people hear from us is heard digitally. So much of our voice that's out there to our friends is things we say and share digitally. And we cannot separate our online behavior and our Christian behavior, because who you are online is who you are. Who you are online is who you are. You see, well, that's not who I am. That's just who I am online. And in real life, I'm a nice person. In real life, I'm never controversial. In real life, I'm not that politically charged. But online is not the fakest. Online is the revelation of what's in our heart. It shows who we really are. We need to care about that. So we began this series by looking at something that Jesus said 2,000 years ago. And I want to remind you, something Jesus said 2,000 years ago, we saw last week, he did not say these things to the unchurched sinners of the world who needed the, you know, the message of what religion. He said these things 2,000 years ago to the religious, God-fearing, temple-attending, church-going, Bible-reading, scripture-memorizing God crowd. And Jesus, they didn't like Jesus very much because he didn't come along and do their thing their way. They didn't like Jesus the way that we don't like Christian leadership voices in the world today that do church or approach the gospel a different way than we do. We call them heretics or whatever because we have our way. We get so mad. They were mad at Jesus because he didn't come along and do the way they did God. They loved God. They loved their nation. They wanted Israel restored to its former greatness. And they loved their country. They loved their God. And they were the good guys. To them, they were the good guys. And to them, Jesus represented the wrong ideals for a religious leader. And they attacked Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 12, they got so frustrated with how he operated. He was God, but they didn't recognize him because they were so charged over the wrong things. They were so angry at Jesus that at one point they accused him of doing the miracles that he did through the power of demonic possession. Total nonsense. But that's how angry they were. And hysterical they were. They were unhinged. And Jesus says a lot to them that we saw last week. We'll look at one verse. In Matthew 12:34, he told them, Sharon, he said, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. In other words, what you say is an outpouring of what's in your heart. And also, what's in our heart comes from what we hear, what we see. In other words, when people are in a bad spot, when people are misbehaving outwardly, the issue is the heart. The issue is the heart, because what happens is this. We let things affect our hearts by what we hear, what we read, what we see, what we listen to. And then it makes our heart feel a certain way, a certain passion, certain anger, certain bitternesses, certain hostilities. And from that heart, we speak. And you'll never address a problem by addressing what's said. You got to get to the heart. To get to the heart, you got to get to the sources affecting the heart. And so we got to talk about this. I said that's why we've identified triggers last week. Triggers of things that pollute and damage our hearts, which in turn lead to damaging behavior from us. We talked about things last week like tribalism, zero sum. What is a zero sum game? What does that mean? What are silos? How do we get stuck in them? Echo chambers. We talked about confirmation bias and groupthink. And I told you last week that this is a three-parter, and if you were going to be tempted by the end of the series to write me off, say this is not a spiritual topic, you know, Christians in church, we like the preacher to call out sin, so long as it's somebody else's sin. And if it gets too close to home, we want him to preach about Jesus more, you know, at that moment. So this is Bible. This is Jesus taught what we're teaching today. We're going to see more verses today like we did last week. But if before you write me off and wash your hands of me, I've asked you to give me 3 weeks. I say that again because if you missed last Sunday's message, I'm asking you to please go back, especially this series, and watch it or listen to it, because you need that one to make this one make more sense, to make the last. Please go back and listen to the last one if you missed it. But here's the thing. Both, any issue that happens on social media, any divide, religiously, politically, whatever issues may be, opinions about how to handle health issues in America, in the world, both sides of any volatile issue are guilty of the same things as the other side, but they accuse the other side of being the things that they're guilty of. Like, if people get into political fights and they're like the other people, they're just triggered, they're triggered snowflakes who need safe places. They both sides behave the same way, but they throw that accusation out to the other side. Before, when it's my side behaving that way, that I would call someone else on the other side of an issue of being a triggered snowflake who needs a safe place. When my side acts that way, we're just outraged patriots. It's funny, last week we preached the sermon, and between services, I go to my office to debrief with Anthony and Nathan a little bit and get ready for round two. And on our way there, Anthony got an email popped up on his phone that's from outraged patriot. Just outraged, getting him all worked up. And he read that on the way, and we were laughing because it's all this. And it fits so well into the service. See, when our side's mad, we're just outraged patriots. But when their side's mad the same way, they're just triggered snowflakes who need safe places, right? That's how we act. Because we don't see ourselves through the bad lens. We're cynical. The online world has made our Christianity as toxic as the rest of the world. And so today, I want to specifically identify another problem that affects our hearts. And it's not the other side's problem. It's not the other, whatever political party you're on or whatever side of the issue you're on in any area. It's not the other people's problem. It's our problem. The problem of fake news. Now, when I say fake news, what do I mean by fake news? And then we're gonna dissect this and we're going to talk about it. I'm going to try to save you from having to buy a bunch of boxes of donuts for somebody someday, okay? So here's the thing. What are we talking about, fake news? Well, obviously, fake news is spreading news that we know is just downright false. You know, it's just written by somebody to make the other people look bad because they probably, in their minds, are bad, so they deserve whatever you say about them, whether it's true or not. It's just fake news. It just didn't happen. It's made up. That's easy. The problem with fake news is it's not so easy to nuance. Because fake news isn't always just so clearly black and white. It usually has some truth. It might be exaggerated. It might be a few things. But I want to say this. Fake news is more than just false news. Fake news is more than just false news. So here's an example. We do this with our kids, hopefully mom and dad, when we're raising kids. We tell our children that it's not just the bold-faced lies that are lying. That when our children tell half-truths, that's a lie. Hopefully we've learned that when we were growing up. Half-truths are lies. Exaggerations are lies. Fictional stories to make someone like me by telling a cool story that they'll listen to me and think I'm awesome is a lie. Telling a little bit of truth with a whole lot of exaggeration is a lie. In fact, when you get in the witness stand before court, they say, do you swear to tell the truth? The whole truth? and nothing but the truth. So help you God. So help you God. And that's what truth should be. And so sometimes we are guilty of fake news, not because we wouldn't share blatantly fake news, but we share a lot of false news, but not just false news, but a lot of half-true news, which is, I think, more damaging than completely fake news. Because if you've got an ounce of truth in it, I can let emotionally validate the other stuff. And we do this sometimes. Fake news is a lot of things. Let me give you some examples. Sometimes fake news is just exaggerated news. It's true, but it's exaggerated. Or this person did this something, and I can blow it way out of proportion. And turning molehills into mountains is the way to do it to your enemies, bless God, you know. Because they deserve it, because they're bad. I'm good, right? That's how we treat people in social media. But fake news is also old news. You know what? I can't tell you how many times I see people on social media sharing news like it just happened today or yesterday that's 2 years old or 4 years old or 8 years old. And I'm looking at that news, and all you have to do is click the article or read it or look, Google it online. It happened years ago. Why would we share news that's years old today, like it happened today, with the context that it's happening right now? Because it's an outrageous story, and if we can share it like it's happening right now, then we are currently outraged. We're stirring current outrage. Oftentimes, the news that we share is old, and it was probably fake news or exaggerated news or half-true news back then. But even if it was somehow completely true then, we share it today because we want to stir current outrage. Oftentimes, people share old news in current situations to demean a party in a zero-sum game, as we said earlier, to try and get ahead of a contest in our tribe. Sometimes, we share old news because something that currently happened makes my side look bad on some political issue, and it's current, it makes my side look bad. So if I can share some old news that makes the other side look bad, I can kind of defend myself by counterbalancing it. And why aren't people sharing this story? Because it's old. It was only half true then, you know, but it's old. And we share old news, and old news is fake news. I'm sorry, to share something today that happened in 2016 as if it happened today. I mean, if we insist on sharing old news, at least the best thing to do is sort of say, attention, all my friends, the first thing on my paper, first thing I'm saying is this is old, ancient information from this year, but I just wanted to bring it up again. I don't think that's even worth doing because it's just trying to bring old problems back up. But if you're going to do it, at least do that. But no one does that. We just want to share it like it's current. Old news is fake news. Another form of this is misrepresented headlines. Misrepresented headlines. I can tell you how many people write a headline for clickbait. It's a sensational headline. You read that, you're like, what? So-and-so did such and such. Then if you actually click the article and read the thing, which people don't do that. People don't read the articles. We just share. We share a headline that's sensational and pass it on without even reading it. And then, you know, it's funny how many times on social media people have commented under an article and said, well, I didn't read the article, but here's what I think. I've seen that so many times. I didn't even read the article, but here's my thoughts. Well, how do you have thoughts if you didn't read the article, you know? Because I read the headline and I got my opinion about that headline. Well, that's not good. But just because sometimes the headlines are misconstrued. So-and-so did such and such. Read the article. Well, actually, so-and-so did this, and that sounds like they could do that. And they know somebody else who's a third cousin to a former person who does that, and by being sympathetic towards this cause, they might. It becomes this whole thing that's not even true about the headline. But we just share it along and pass it on. It's fake news. Fake news is outrage-driven news. Be careful about outrage-driven news. A lot of our news we get are just people who are, they are wanting outrage and they want you to be upset, and it's tribal-driven news. It's to win a game, it's to beat the other side, and so who cares if it's true? We've got to stir up the masses to go our way because we've got to win this game. So it's outrage-driven, it's tribal-driven. It is news that is sometimes foreign, a lot of foreign influence in our news today. And I know we don't like to talk about foreign influence in our elections and in our news, but it's a real thing. Here's what I'd say about it. Foreign influence in our elections and news, they're not on any one side of our politics. Foreign powers that try to influence our nation with fake news and outrage stories are not on any one political side or the other. Their whole goal is to keep us fighting with each other. They want us to be at odds. They want to stir the pot. And it might go one direction politically one day, one direction politically another day, a different year for this, a different year for that. The reason they stir that up in our country is because a nation divided against itself cannot stand and prosper. And if someone wants to keep us from being a global power or weaken our global power as a nation, the best way to do it is to keep us fighting each other. By spreading discord and distrust with a bunch of bad information and outrageous information and exaggerated information. So we're fighting with each other and we're weaker on a global front. So people have a reason to keep us fighting in-house. And then not just for global power reasons. There's a pretty big news articles not long ago from documented research done by some people in some Eastern European countries who are just driving outrage stories and some fake news and some stuff like that through our social media. We don't even know where it's coming from. It looks like it's coming from your neighbor, but it's coming from a lot of Eastern European sources who are not necessarily trying to weaken us globally like some nations would do. Their whole goal is to make money because outrage turns into clicks, and clicks turn into views, and views turn into shares, and shares turn into advertisers, and they make money. And they don't care what happens in American politics because they're not in America. They care about making money, and us getting upset and passing on information gets them advertisement revenue. So they're just making money off of us getting all angry at each other with news that they generate to keep us all stirred up. In fact, the motto for a lot of people out there could be simply this. I can get more and you more engaged. I'm sorry, I skipped the line, didn't I? I'm like, where are you at, Jody? Where are you at? Okay, let me back up here. The problem is that fear sells. People peddle fear. Fear sells, and it gets people clicking, and so does anger. Anger sells. Here's the thing. I remember watching sports a while back ago, and as the major news networks began to just bring on host to argue ridiculous points of view about sports. Let's take insane positions just to get everyone angry and engaged. One of my favorite Indianapolis Colts forums where we could talk with each other was a website, and the guy in charge of it began to write outrageous, angering headlines to stir everyone up because he knew that if you stir people up, they'd comment below, they would get engaged, and the more they were engaged, the more clicks, the more money he would make. Drove a lot of us away in time. But the motto for many people when it comes to online news is, I can get you more engaged by keeping you enraged. I can get you more engaged by keeping you enraged. So if I can make you upset with everybody, if I can make you upset with those bad people that you hate and don't like and da-da-da-da-da, if I can make you fearful about people destroying everything that you believe in, if I can make you angry, if I can lie, exaggerate, distort, take a couple bad players and make it look like everyone on the other side of you is all like that person, if I can do all of that, I can get you more engaged by keeping you enraged. And when you stay engaged, they make money. We need to understand this is what happens. But this is a big idea for Christians. Because when it comes to honesty, honesty matters to God. Did you know that when you read the Bible throughout the entire Old and New Testament, that God identifies himself as being truth? John 16:13 says the Holy Spirit of God is truth. John 17, Jesus said that God's word is truth. In fact, Jesus himself identified as truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus identified as the truth. In other words, this is throughout Scripture, that God doesn't take a position of saying, you know, as God, I'm kind of pro-truth. Not always. Sometimes I'm kind of for the other side. But when you really weigh the two, I'm usually for the truth. God's not pro-truth. God is truth. He identifies his character as God by truthfulness. And Jesus said, when you want to know who I am about the truth. Contrary-wise, Jesus points out that the enemy, the devil, our enemy, is deceitful and a liar. He's about the deception and the lies. In John 8:44, Jesus was talking to, check it out, Jesus is talking not to the unchurched sinners of the world. He was talking to, again, the religious, church-attending, Bible-reading, scripture-memorizing God crowd who was opposing him of the day and fighting his work. And he says to them, the good guys in their own minds, like we are, the God-loving, nation-loving people that they thought they were, and Jesus says to them, you are of your children. You are the children of your father, the devil. Ouch. He says, and you love to do the evil things he does. Well, what evil things does he do? Jesus says, well, he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, that's not me. I don't murder anybody. I'm not done yet. He always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. It's interesting how that Jesus ties together the idea of the truth with murder. Because so many times it is taking some information that's false or exaggerated and stirring people up that leads to anger, which leads to hate, which leads to murder. That's why God says in the Sermon on the Mount, you say, thou shalt not murder, but I say unto you, don't be angry at your brother without a cause. Or don't hate, because the hate and the anger turn to the other. So Jesus is pinpointing the devil's errors, not just as being a murderer, but as hating the truth. He goes on to say this. Jesus says, when the devil lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so God is truth and identifies as truth, and God says that our enemy, the devil, is a liar, builds everything upon deception and lies. A lot of half-truths, a lot of partial truths, so it's all believable, a lot of exaggeration. And we have to ask ourselves, when we peddle an information, when all of us peddle an information online, are we spreading truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, consistent with the character of God, or are we doing the work of the devil? Because God is a God who has identified himself as a being, a person of truth. And that's why it's important to teach our children. It's important to pass this on to our kids. One of the important things we can teach our kids growing up is not to lie. Not to lie to impress their parents with a story so that they'll pay attention to them. Not to lie to get out of trouble. Not to lie to get permission to do something they want to do. And I know I have a famous, well-known person who, as a Christian, has influenced me, an older man who raised his kids with two rules. They had two rules raising kids in their house. Their first rule was, don't disrespect your mama. That was rule number one. That's a good start. His only other rule growing up for his kids was, don't lie. And the whole reason why was this. We can work through the rest of it, but if you lie, lying tears down trust. And when trust is torn down, there's no relationship. You can't have a relationship without the foundation of trust. And so when you start lying, you diminished the trust and therefore hurt the relationship. We can't operate that way. That's why we're much more severe and harsh when lies, because it breaks our heart, it breaks people. Lying hurts. That's why we got to pass it on to our kids. Because as adults, honesty is vital in any civilized society in order to function and stay healthy as a culture. It's vital. In fact, it's so vital to a culture and a nation that when God was establishing his nation of the Israelite people thousands of years ago, and he gave them a bunch of commandments to live by as a nation, his top 10 commandments, remember the 10 commandments? His top 10 included the importance of honesty. The 9th commandment of the top 10 Jesus gave in Exodus 20, verse 16 that God gave was, you must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not testify falsely because you can't establish a healthy anything that way. Here's the thing. Testifying falsely, we always think about court, where someone gets in the court case, gets on the stand at court, swears in the Bible, and then testifies falsely in order to receive money as a bribe. That's obviously wrong. Or maybe they testify falsely because they want to hurt someone they don't like. They want to see that person pay a con. They want to destroy, have someone thrown in jail or executed. Or maybe they lie to have somebody lose their wealth or to get revenge on someone they don't like. They think that person's bad, so it's okay to bury them with a lie. In court, we must not testify falsely against your neighbor. But it's not just a court principle. It's a life principle. Some of us, we crucify people in the court of public opinion. We go on social media, and we say, I'm going to spread rumors about a celebrity that will make them feel like vile people, so because I don't care. It may be true. Destroy their career. Or an influencer to destroy their voice. They'll cost them maybe their job, their money, their livelihood, their ability to be an influencer. We do it to politicians because they're on the other side of the political aisle and therefore they should know better, they're bad, so we'll lie about them so that we can make them lose the election, so we can make them lose office, so we can tear them down, so we can hurt their cause. And we're like, well, you know, that's because we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, people think. We testify falsely to harm them, to help our cause or whatever it may be. And we must not. And God, who is truth, and the devil, who is a deceiver and a liar, God says, you can't. You can't do it. You must not do it. We must not be guilty of fake news. Because bearing false witness is lying and it's wrong, whether I'm deceived or I'm being deceitful. In other words, I can say, well, I didn't make up the news. I just heard it, thought it was true. I passed it along. It's their fault for giving me fake news. I just passed it along. I was deceived. It doesn't matter if I was deceived myself or I'm the deceitful one. Either way, when I pass along bad news, I'm guilty. That's a sin. That's wrong. It doesn't matter how much I think they deserve it or what I want to accomplish or what I'm trying to win. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's 100 times over wrong. So Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he says to them, I want to tell you what you ought to think about. And here's why he does this. And in a social media day and age, this was good for us because I think if Paul was here today, Paul would say, before you pass along information to somebody else, before you pass along news, before you pass along rumors, you ought not even be thinking about stuff. You shouldn't be reading and consuming and getting worked up emotionally about stuff that's not true. And so Paul says to the people, even before you spread anything, don't be thinking about the wrong things. And he gives them a list of ways to filter what they let influence them. And he begins in Philippians 4:8 by saying, fix your thoughts on what is true. Now, he's not done yet. There's a whole more list of hurdles to clear our information through before we share it or think about it even. But Paul begins by saying, fix on what is true. So I want to take a couple minutes here before we go home and talk about how to verify before trusting. When you get information sent your way, how do you verify the information before you choose to trust it? Now, I want to say this before I give you a checklist here. I want to say this first of all to you. When you get information that comes your way, here's a good way of operating. Try to prove it wrong, not prove it right. What we want to do is we want to believe information that comes our way. We want to pass it on. So we try to find any morsel of truth and say, aha, it's true, and pass it on. Try to prove it wrong, not prove it right. Try to be Sherlock Holmes and take the information and figure out how it's wrong and say, aha, even though I want to believe it, even though it helps a cause that I believe in, I'm going to start taking pride in exposing and knowing that even helpful information is being vetted by me and I caught it and I didn't pass it on. You got to want to prove it wrong, not prove it right. And by the way, let me say this to you. Well, we say, well, it sounds like something they would do. It sounds like something that those people would do. So that's not a sufficient vetting process. I can't tell you how many times through the years, and I'm going to be honest, I used to try to call people out nicely as to how I am. I used to try to send private messages or text to some people I love, family or friends, who would be sharing false information, and I would say, hey, just me and you, I probably wouldn't, that's not true. That happened 8 years ago. It never happened at all. That's bad. That's not. And inevitably, most people, I've stopped doing that. Because you know what people do? They'll be like, well, that sounds like something they would say or do. So, you know, in other words, because I think that's the kind of person they are, I can go ahead and just keep it. And they never take it down. They never take that bad information down. They never remove and delete their post. They just ignore my warning and say, well, those people are that way, that it's probably could be true, so I'm going to share it anyhow. I'm horrified. Horrified that we do this. And I'm talking about Jesus followers that do this. Jesus followers. So how do we do this? Because believing that somebody would do something like that is not sufficient vetting to believe and propagate a story. A few things and we'll go home. Here's what you need to do. Here's what we should do. Several things. First of all, check the date. Whenever you get information come your way, first thing you should do is check the date. Did it happen? Is this a story from 2 years ago or 8 years ago or some other time in history? Say, so, well, no, but, you know, something else happened that made my side look bad, so I got to bring some old news to make the other side look bad. It's probably true back then. I don't know. We can go to 250 years of American history and find old news. Can you believe that they just invaded Lexington and Concord? Just now, the British just did. They just invaded, those stupid British people just invaded Lexington and Concord. I can't believe it. Well, it happened 200 and some years ago, but it happened, you know. I mean, is it, check the date. If it's 2 years old, we shouldn't be creating fresh outrage for any cause that we're trying to be about. And again, I'll say this, if you insist on sharing old information, you should at least say, everyone, before you read this is old news. This happened 5 years ago, but I wanted to bring it up anyhow. I don't know why you still would, but that's better than just passing on as if letting people think this is happening today. Check the date. Next, check the source. If your source is outragedpatriot.com, whatever, you know, or whatever. I don't even know what that site is. So I shouldn't say that because I'm probably disparaging somebody and myself. But here's the thing. Check the source. Here's what I've done over and over again. When I see news that I'm like, whoa, is that true? Did that side really do that? Did that person really say that? When I see news come that my way that way, I've learned to, if I'm not sure about the news, I check the source. I check the who is sharing this article and what else have they written. And if I can go to their other articles that they've written or shared and find that elsewhere they've shared fake news, exaggerated news, and all that kinds of stuff about them, then I now know that as a source, they're willing to lie or spread deceitful information for their cause. And as soon as I find that a source that's sharing an article with me that I'm not sure about has elsewhere been known to share fake or bad news elsewhere for their cause, I say I can't trust that source, and I don't share anything they have, even if it might be true. Check the source. And if it's bad, toss it out. We ought to do that. Not only check the source, but check other sources. If you say, whoa, that's outrageous. Did that really happen? Well, look around. If only one or two crazy sources full of, you know, shocking news that someone's probably making a ton of money on while people are sharing it as a big conspiracy. If two sources are only sharing, and no one else is sharing this information in the whole world, but these two fringe interesting sources, it could be that they're the only ones telling us the truth in a culture full of, the tinfoil hat is on. Potentially that could be the case. But more than likely, someone's got an agenda. So, well, what if they're the only ones? What if they are right? What if they're the only people telling us the truth and everyone else is somehow suppressing the truth? Here's the thing. Please hear me. It is better to not pass on information that could have been true than it's better to not pass it on. And it's worse to actually share something that ends up not being true because you thought it could have been true. The greater tragedy is for me to share something that's not true. In other words, well, if I don't share it, what if it's being suppressed? What if it's fake news? Well, the pressure on us should be that we're way more concerned about not sharing something that's not true about something to tear someone down or tear an organization down, tear a movement down, tear people down. We have to be more concerned about that than we are getting word out there. So check other sources. And if you're in doubt, when in doubt, don't share it. Check the sources. Check other sources. Check the article, not just the headline. Check the article. Again, we do a lot of read the headline, share the article. Read the headline. Headlines are written to be sensational. The term is clickbait. You know the funny part about clickbait is? People don't even click the clickbait anymore. They just share it. Did you actually click the clickbait and read what it said? Well, no, but it was outrageous, so I shared it with my friends. Check the article. What's it actually saying? Here's one that will make us uncomfortable. Check with the fact checkers. I know, whenever a fact checker disagrees with your news, the fact checker is on the other side doing the devil's work. I know. Because here's how it works. I say this is true, you disagree with me, so what am I going to do? Well, here's a third party over here that says, well, I'll try to be a mediator and I'll verify the truth. If they back me up, see, they backed me up, they're good people. If they say, actually, Arlen, you're wrong, well, you're just on their side, it's a conspiracy. I don't believe anybody who discredits my story because they're part of the... See, here's the problem, when you get into this outrage mentality, when you get into these silos and these tribalisms and this zero-sum game stuff we talked about last time, when you get into that, you'll start, anyone who questions anything that you believe or want to believe will become part of the problem. We got to check information out better. Next, check the context. And again, to the last point, just because they would say or probably would doesn't mean they did. Check the context. Is this context, is it news or opinion? Anymore, news is lost. People don't do news anymore. They do opinion. Are we sharing reputable news sources? Usually at the top will say it's an opinion piece or whatever. We ought to know that. A lot of people don't even try to differentiate. But is it news or is it opinion? Is it drawing conclusions? I remember a few years ago in the last election, there was an article I read. I won't pick sides here. But someone was basically saying, not voting for this candidate is voting that you want your kids to be dead in the streets. Shot dead in the streets. I'm like, what? So read the article. Basically, it was, by not voting for this candidate, you're voting for that candidate. By voting for that candidate, they have this view of life, which is kind of, other people view that more radically this way, and that could lead to this, and that could lead to other radical things this way, which could lead to people and so basically, 1 + 2 + 3, this whole arc of information that somehow led to a statement in context that said, you got to do this or else. Watch who's trying to lead you somewhere. Check the context. What's really being said? Is it true? Is it exaggerated? Is it got an agenda to it? What's really happening? Is what's said in the article actually what really happened? Look around. You say, well, that sounds like a lot of work, Arlen. I know. It's much easier to press share. than it is to research. But our integrity demands the research. And if we don't have time or energy to desire to do the research, we should just stay out of the game. And then last of all, check yourself. That might be the most important one for a whole sermon right there. Check yourself. What's my motive? Am I trying to win a zero-sum game? Am I trying to, do I have bitterness and hate in my heart? Do I demean other people? Am I angry? Am I a fear-based person? Check myself. So here's a little guideline for all of us when it comes to news, because sometimes when we come to news, some news that comes our way, some headlines hurt us or hurt our side of an issue, and some of news comforts our side and our side of the issue by attacking the other people. So what do you do when news comes your way that either hurts you in your views or comforts you in your views? Here's what you do. If it hurts to hear it, look for the truth in it. When you see information that hurts to hear, instead of just saying fake, dismissing it, if it hurts you or your cause to hear it, look for the truth in it. And if it comforts you to hear it, look for the lie in it. We do the opposite of this. We do the exact opposite. If it hurts us to hear it, we look for the lie. That's partly untrue or could be, so it's all whatever. And if it comforts us, we'll find any grain of truth and believe it. So I'm saying flip the script. If it hurts to hear it, look for the truth. And if it comforts to hear it, look for the lie in it. And I gave you several check marks a minute ago. News does not have to pass only one hurdle to be okay to share. It should have to pass every single hurdle all the way down the line. In other words, if it's like going to the doctor and they have to fill out these seven boxes. If one box is no, there's a problem, right? If any one of those things we gave you as a checklist, if your news fails that check mark, it should not be shared. Just because you see yourself and I see myself as the good guy and the other person as the bad guy does not justify false information. Now, I'm going to tell you another story because I kind of told on my sins of fake news at the beginning of the sermon, and we fed you donuts. So here's another story where I was the victim of fake news. Years and years ago, our church used to be a fundamentalist Baptist church. That's how I was raised. That's what we were. And God led me to lead our church out of that. And there were some people in our church who that was very important to them, and they didn't like it. A couple of people who meant a lot to me. One man who was a person I cared for deeply. He had come into my life in a few years before then and became like a person that was almost like a father figure of some sorts to me, I thought, disagreed with our church's direction. They thought that the standards and things we were changing made us bad, and he was against us. So he went about and started just trying to really harm us and harm me because I was the bad pastor, and you got to tear those wolves down, you know. So he spread a couple of rumors. One rumor he spread cast bad things against Michelle and me as a couple about our marriage. In implied impropriety, which is so untrue. We've been married for 26 years. We've been happily married. The best thing in my whole life is my marriage. I got an awesome wife. We're happily married. This guy decided to cast shade and rumors, horrible things about that, to someone in the church who had family in the church to try to get them angry and pull them out of the church. He also spread to somebody else rumors that we were financially improper. It wasn't true either. It was so fake. And I don't know if he thought he had some little thing that bothered him that was a grain of truth to exaggerate, or if he was just bold-faced lying. But in both cases, in the second case, he actually talked to family that was excited in the community out of our church, and they left. And I don't know why he did it, but I think a big part of it was because in his mind, he was the good guy, and our church was changing a direction that he thought was wrong, and I was the bad guy. And so since he was the good guy and I was the bad guy, it's okay if you have to lie about me. It's okay if you got to make up a story. It's okay to do whatever you got to do. Because after all, he's bad and he deserves to be hurt. I'm good. I deserve to say what needs to be said to win the fight. And having been on the wrong side of lies and bad information by somebody who had an agenda that they thought the ends justified the means, it hurts. But it should bother me more when I do it than when I receive it. And I don't care who the person is. Well, they're rich. They can. I don't care if they're rich. If they're famous, if they're athletic, if they're a politician that you don't like, to demean and lie about someone's character, to say things that aren't true, to disparage groups of people, to disparage, you know, voting blocks of people or races of people or anything it may be, because it's convenient for your cause, is never right. People are always victims. Well, I'm the good guy, they're the bad guy. That doesn't matter. Well, they probably would do something like that. It doesn't matter. Because falsehoods and lies are not from God, they're from the devil. God is truth. And when we operate in the other worldview, we will do harm. Here's what I want to say to you. When you share something on social media, and when you post something on social media, it is the same thing as putting your name on the dotted line. It's putting your name. It's saying, I stand by this information. I believe this to be true. I say so. I'm passing it on because you can trust me. This is true. That's what it's doing. And we've got to be very careful what we sign our name to by what we share and what we post. Because when we do so, we lose our credibility. When people figure out that we are willing to lie or exaggerate or do things for the wrong reasons, some people figure out eventually we'll lose all of our credibility and all of our influence. But not only that, we will lose our credibility and we lose our Christianity. We lose our testimony to influence people to Christ as we operate in the devil's realm. And it ought to matter to us. So if it does, you say, well, Arlen, okay, I get it. But what if it actually does pass all the truth test? Can I always share it? Just because something passes the truth test completely does not mean we should always share it. Paul, speaking to the Philippians, says there's a whole lot more hurdles than just truth to sharing information. For example, in Philippians 4:8, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If it's not falling in those categories, don't even think about them or dwell on them or get worked up by them, and certainly don't pass them on to others. It's got to pass all those hurdles. Now, I know some of you are sitting here today saying, well, time out, Arlen. You lost me. If it's true, I don't care how lovely, honorable, whatever it is. I don't care. If it's true, I'm sharing it because we're at war or whatever. Fine. I'm not even going to fight that battle today. Let's just forget that even. Let's forget the rest. Here's the bottom line. All I care about is this first one. Even if you don't, the rest of it doesn't matter to us. Truth should matter to all of us. Truth should matter because it matters to God. And in the end, this message is for us, not for the people we disagree with. And fake news is a subject that should concern us about our behavior, not somebody else's. The tragedy of fake news is not when I'm on the receiving end of someone's fake news that hurts my feelings, or hurts my cause, or hurts my testimony. So what if they're lying about me? Here's the thing. If someone is spreading fake news about you, if someone's lying about you, gossiping about you, sharing untruths about you, do you believe in God? Have faith. God will take care of it. He'll make them accountable. He'll work it out. Have faith in God. But if it's you and me sharing falsehoods and exaggerations and half-truths and whatever else to hurt people that we think are bad anyhow, so it's okay. Have faith in God and fear him. Have faith that God will make things right. I and you and I ought to be way more troubled about what comes out of our mouth or our fingertips dishonestly than we are what comes back at us dishonestly. Because God can fight our battles for us. So are you saying being a pacifist? I'm not saying anything other than this. Whatever battle you want to fight, lying is never acceptable. Exaggeration, falsehoods, misrepresentation is never okay, only truth. If you can't win with truth, maybe your cause is wrong. The truth can stand for itself. And we ought to be more concerned. In fact, I should be so upset by fake news that I'm determined to never be a source of it. When fake news happens, it makes me mad because they're lying about someone I like or support or about me. It makes me so mad about fake news, I should be so upset when it happens against me or mine that I'm determined that I will never be a source of it. You can't always go buy someone 4 boxes of donuts and make an apology that way. But it would probably kill some Christians I know to have to get on Facebook or someplace and say, attention all my friends, this politician or some other person that I hate, I have demeaned and I spread some bad information about them that's not true, they did not deserve that. I may defend them for a minute, put myself down. We'd hate to do that because we would hate to give someone we don't like any kind of credit. But that's what we ought to do when we lie or pass along information that we were deceived by and shared it with others. Because we should be about the truth. Be upset by fake news so much that we determined, not they shouldn't, I should never be a source of it. I should never be a part of it. I'm not going to sign my name to it. I'm going to do better. And if God's people, if the world would do this, it'd be a better world. But I'm not preaching to the world. I'm preaching to those who call themselves Jesus followers. We must do better. Next week, we'll finish this up with a different subject. Catch last week if you missed it. Let's be honest. Let's figure this out. Because in the end, as we'll see next week, we have bigger things at stake than just the immediate crisis and battle of the day.